Welcome to the Conquer Your Draft podcast, where fantasy champions are made. Welcome back to the Conquer Your Draft fantasy football podcast. I'm Josh, and with me as always is Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. I'm still a little bit shocked, to be honest with you. Not just by you opening some sort of can or something that just happened 6 seconds ago. But also, I don't know if you just decided, oh, I'm going to do this right in front of the microphone. Have fun editing. But that's what happened. And, I'm shocked by that. But also I've been thinking a lot about, this whole Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson thing.
Yep.
Because I also was out there reading lots that like everywhere says the Steelers are planning to start Russell Wilson. Like, it's his job to lose. They want him to be the starter. He's going to start. Now, of course, most teams have proven in the past that anything can happen in training camp, in the first two games of the season. Like, things can change fast. I'm just still a little baffled by that decision. And I would even say more than a little baffled. I'm not a fan of it. I would go as far to think it's like an unintelligent, uninformed decision, but it's so consistent everywhere that that's what they're saying. They're obviously, they want to put that out there to avoid a controversy. So they must mean it, because they wouldn't then just turn around and be like, oh, and Justin Fields is starting game one. Like, something would have to happen to Wilson in order for them to switch. That's what it sounds like. So I'm a little baffled by that.
So, like, are you baffled that they brought Justin Fields in if clearly they were going to go with Russell Wilson, or that they're just sticking with Russell Wilson now that they also have Justin Fields?
I understand why they would bring in Justin Fields, especially at that price. And I understand why they would bring in Russell Wilson, even at the price that they got for him, because he being released and bought out, it's like a, you know, not a huge chunk of money. So they're rolling the dice with two players and there's like no risk. Right? None whatsoever. All they're giving up essentially is 1 year, and they've got two quarterbacks who, in theory, can put together capable NFL drives. What I'm confused about is why, when you have a choice between the two, you wouldn't say, at bare minimum, say it's an open competition. We want Russell Wilson and Justin Fields to go into training camp and battle it out. And the quarterback that proves to us there are still a starter in the NFL, they're going to start for us. But it seems to be, it's more along the lines of, we got to protect Russell Wilson and we got to protect him and we got to let him and everyone else know that it's his job. And I don't personally agree with that approach. And I think Justin Fields is not only a better quarterback than Russell Wilson, he's also the one that you could build a future around.
Yeah, out of the two of them, I think Justin Fields would be certainly the future. But we've seen pretty shaky play from both of them now in the past couple of years. So I can understand, I guess they want to go with the veteran, hoping that he maybe, I don't know, can bounce back easier. I don't know which one of them is going to end up finishing this season personally. I could see it going either way, depending on how these first couple of games go, especially.
I'm shocked to hear you say that.
Why?
So, am I just naive then? Like, has Russell Wilson not been a tub of garbage for 2 years?
Oh, yeah. But before that, he was very, very good.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm thinking they're banking on, okay, maybe it was just an issue in Denver specifically. And what we can do will fix that. Whereas Justin Fields hasn't ever hit that level that historic Russell Wilson was at, right? So that's the only thing I can think of. Like, okay, we're going to go with the veteran who's going to be able to maybe steer the offense while we navigate through this. And then if it doesn't work out, well, we've got Justin Fields and he can learn from Russell Wilson, maybe like an opportunity that he never really got in Chicago. And then if things go poorly with Russell Wilson, we can always pivot to Justin Fields anyways. Like, they're not locked into saying Russell Wilson's going to be the starter all year. He's just starting game one. That could change by game two, right? That's the only thing I can think of, is that they're hoping for a bit of maybe stability, maybe a resurgence of the past, and giving Justin Fields a bit of time to learn from somebody who's been around the block and been to the Super Bowl, and then maybe take over the reins from there. That's the only spin I can really put on it that I guess makes sense to me. I don't know if that makes sense to you or if that makes sense to anyone else.
I don't know.
Trying to put myself in their shoes, you know?
I would have a hard time with 2 years of evidence to ignore that, only because it's more recent. Like, I get the idea. So in a lot of areas of life, I think if you have, I have a sample size of 15, whatever, and there's two bad and 13, like, really good to excellent, I understand being like, well, why would you ignore the two? Only because it's sports. It's the most recent, and people aging in sports generally does not make them better. So yeah. The only argument I would be bringing to the table is, yes, he won a Super Bowl, but like years ago, years. I was a stud 10 years ago. Now I'm schlubby. Why would you be like, oh, you can do all the things you did 10 years ago? No, you can't. So it boggles my mind because it's not... He was on a Denver Broncos team that I think a lot of people will admit offensively never really had like a lot of great weapons, but like pretty solid defense, and two different coaches with him, two different approaches, two different coaches, two different mentalities, and they still couldn't get it done. And who's the common thread? Russell Wilson. So you bring him into Pittsburgh. I get it for the price, but if you then get Justin Fields falling into your lap, I don't care what you've promised Russell Wilson. You can go cry in the Hurt Feelings Club room all you want. I'm doing what's best for my franchise. And what's best for my franchise is, I don't care if you're 35 or 21. The person who's the best player will lead my team. And I will have training camp, 3 pregame seasons. And you're right, maybe the first game or two of the season to prove it. But in those cases, I'm not naming my starter. I don't care about media pressure. I don't care what people say. You can't let those things get to you. You have to be able to be stronger than that. So that would just be my mentality of saying, you're both here now, figure it out.
Yeah, if I was in the Steelers locker room, I would be saying that as well. Like, I'd very much have it as a QB battle. But they've chosen Russell Wilson as their number one for at least day one, so... Maybe it's like conditional, like you're the starter as long as you keep earning it. Like, we will give you the freebie of you can start game one, and then anything after that you have to earn. And maybe it'll be like a battle in that way, you know, like a battle throughout camp and everything. And Russell Wilson gets game one, and then if Justin Fields has outperformed him everywhere else, he'll start from onwards. Like, I don't know. But yeah, I agree with you. I would take your approach with a camp battle and just take whoever's shown you they can run the offense the best. But
yeah,
they've chosen against that.
It was the most baffling thing I heard all week until you opened that can when I started talking. So
it's a bottle of water. And I timed it with when you were talking instead of when I was talking.
Well, yeah, but you have any idea how hard that is to edit out?
You'll be fine.
Any idea how difficult that is?
Just mute me. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I have faith in your editing abilities.
It takes five seconds too, right? Like, listen to this guy. Doesn't edit a second of the show. Oh, you could just do it.
I have faith in your abilities, okay? Believe in yourself. All right. Well, today's episode, we're doing a mock draft. We have a little bit of news to talk about first, and then we're going to dive right into our free agency, post-free agency mock draft. So... just one quick signing. Deontay Foreman is signing with the Browns. So that's another running back that they brought into that running back room. So further complicates things in terms of who's going to be their main back and who isn't at this rate, since we haven't heard anything from Nick Chubb and they're bringing in multiple different running backs. I would say they're looking at maybe just doing a running back by committee approach and run with whoever turns out to have the hot hand. That's what I'm kind of getting from this. I don't know if you're seeing anything different.
Well, that's what it sounds like. And I think there's clearly uncertainty around Nick Chubb, right? Like, that's something you and I talked about a little bit last week, but I think there's some clear uncertainty here. And it sounds like they're just bringing in what they can to support some kind of running game.
Yeah. And these are all guys who've had splashes in the past of kind of being hot, but not reliable long term. So that's what I'm guessing, especially I'm just looking at the most recent thing for Nick Chubb here, and he's getting ready to begin load running, which I would assume means that he's getting ready to do like full practice, maybe not obviously contact or anything, but like
full gear,
actually. Yeah, maybe full gear, or maybe just full on running. Like, I don't know what load running means. So,
no.
Yeah, that'll be something to track, because maybe they're just bringing in insurance options just in case something goes wrong with the recovery and they're still expecting Nick Chubb to be back.
Yeah.
Because I can see that too, because that's historically what these guys have been. They come in to replace an injured guy, something like that. So I could see them just kind of getting ahead of the game, getting the guys they want in case they can't use Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Which would be preferable, because Nick Chubb is a great football player, and that means that his career's not over. But I'll be cautiously optimistic until I hear something more from the team, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the NFL owners have had their meeting this week. So they voted to ban the hip drop tackle. I don't know if you have any strong feelings on that, Mike.
I don't. I know JJ Watt did, but I don't.
He did. It did cost you, a hip drop tackle did cost you Mark Andrews, so.
Well, see, there's a part of me that agrees with J.J. Watt where sometimes, like, you can't prevent every kind of injury. Like, you really can't. So it doesn't mean you shouldn't have rules and regulations out there to protect them. But eliminating certain types of tackles, I think that can become tough. But, of course, I'm saying this now. In, like, 3 or 4 years, it'll be trained out of people and you won't see it anymore if that's what they want to get rid of. So if it's going to continue to make players safe and we don't lose players for large chunks of time, I mean, injury is a part of the game, but losing players for a significant amount of time makes things more complex for fantasy, for betting, for all these things. So like, I get where the NFL is coming from. They need to protect their players. So yeah, I don't personally have any strong feelings for or against it until I see how it impacts the game.
Yeah, I'd want to see a bit more of like a dive into the statistics. Like, I guess it doesn't really matter how common the hip drop tackle is, like statistic wise. I'd want to know, okay, when a hip drop tackle is utilized, what are the statistics of it resulting in an injury?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like even if it only is used, let's say like once a game, if 60% of the times that it's used, it results in a long-term injury to the player. Well, then, yeah, clearly that's a problem. Like, and it should be phased out, just like leading with the head and all that has been phased out for player safety.
Yeah, I agree.
But if it's used once a game on average, like statistic-wise, and then there's a 5% rate of injury, well, I don't really know if that's a big enough problem to really warrant having to go through this whole process and getting into the whole, well, what is and what isn't a hip drop tackle, what's going to get flagged, what isn't. I would want to see, I guess, a bit more statistics on that. I haven't personally done a deep dive on it. Maybe they have those statistics out there. I could also see that being something they kind of keep close to the chest, the way like they did with concussions for the longest time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts on it. You know, if it's showing a much higher increase in injuries, then yep, makes sense to phase it out. If it's a negligible, if it's not a viable amount of injuries that really warrant this kind of enforcement, then yay, JJ Watt and other defensive players are probably right. You're just kind of further limiting defenses.
Yep, I agree with that.
The other major rule change that has been put into place is new kickoff rules. So have you read what they are?
I had read before what some of the proposals were, but I don't know what ended up being passed.
Okay, so I've got it here. So the new rule is that there is what's designated a landing zone, which is from the goal line to the 20-yard line. And if the ball lands in that landing zone, it has to be returned. You can't, I don't think you can do a fair catch. You can't do anything like that. Like, if that's where the ball lands, you are returning it.
Is that kickoffs only or punts as well?
That's kickoffs, just okay. Only kickoffs.
Gotcha.
The kicker stays at the 35-yard line where they have always been. The other 10 players on the kicking team line up on the opposing team's 40-yard line. So the landing zone is goal line to 20-yard lines, then there's a 20-yard gap, and then that's where the rest of the kicking team's like tacklers are. And the receiving team lines up with at least 7 players in a setup zone, which is a 5-yard area between their own 35 and 30-yard lines, so giving them a 5 to 10-yard cushion between the kicking team. And you can have a maximum of 2 returners line up in the landing zone. So you have to have at least 7 in that setup zone. You could have up to 10, I guess, with only 1 returner. You'd probably have 9 and 2. And then after the ball is kicked, the kicker cannot cross the 50-yard line. So they're not allowed to go down the field and try to make a tackle either. They basically are hanging out at midfield and they're like the last resort. And the 10 guys on the kicking team can't move until the ball hits the ground or a player in the landing zone or it goes into the end zone. So until that ball hits something in the landing zone, which is goal line to 20-yard line, the kicking team can't move. The setup zone guys, those 9 or 10 guys on the receiving team side also can't move until the ball is hit. So essentially you've got somewhere between 10 and 20 guys just standing there staring at each other until the ball lands or hits somebody in the landing zone. And then everybody takes off all at once. The only guys who are allowed to move are the returners. They can go and do whatever they want back in that landing zone, move around before, during, up until the point that they're interacting with the ball, essentially. So they can position themselves whatever way they see fit, and then essentially it becomes a fist fight for about 10 yards, and then close distance tackling, because they're trying to reduce the impact of concussions. So the point is to force people to do kickoff returns, because, well, as I'm sure you saw this year, there was hardly any. There was maybe like 1 a game. And then to try to reduce the high speed tackles into more like close quarter tackling, just basically lower speeds, not going to result in those huge hits that between the blockers and the kicking team and the receiver in the kicking team that ultimately result in concussions or blown out knees, etc. So it'll be interesting to see. I think this season is just the test season for it. And then if it works, they'll keep it. If it doesn't look good, they'll kind of get rid of it, which has been the style lately. They've done that a couple times in the past few years where they'll implement a new rule on like a one season trial basis before they kind of commit to something.
Yeah. Like, it seems to me, you know, just from mainly listening to you talk about it, that it's just overly complex. But I know it's based off of things they've tried in the spring leagues. So, you know, they must feel that there's both for, as you mentioned, for safety, but like an entertainment value to it. You know, I'm all for kickoffs actually being returned. I'm all for that. We'll see if it sticks around or some hybrid of it. It seems a little bit like, I feel like you could do a simpler rendition of the rule. I feel like you could simplify it down. But listen, we're talking about an American sports league. They like to be a little bit overcomplicated. So we'll see how it goes. But you're right. They have a history of, we try things for a year. If we don't like it, we'll go back and get rid of it, or we'll tweak it and do whatever. So I'm interested to see it, to see kind of what it looks like. It looks kind of goofy anytime I've watched spring football. Like, I think spring football is kind of goofy. But again, I'm sure a lot of the rules when football was first created seemed goofy, and then after a couple of years, they become accepted. So we'll see. Like, I'm interested enough to see, and I'm all for the ball being returned more often on kickoffs if that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, they either have to do this and find some way to force teams to return the ball, or they just got to get rid of kickoffs, because why are we wasting everyone's time just booting the ball down the field? right? Like, you, the other team scores a touchdown, you might as well just, okay, now we're going to start at our 25-yard line, because that's what everyone was doing anyways. Why are we trotting the kicker out there and going through this whole making everybody run down the field and then get hurt for nothing? Those are basically the two options they have left. Find a way to make kickoffs come back and be a part of the game, or just get rid of it completely. And I don't think they want to do that because it's such a historic part of the game. Like, it's been around since they invented the game. So I guess this is their stab in the dark at forcing teams to return the ball. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. I think it's based off. I don't know if it's identical to the XFL one. I don't watch the XFL, but I'm pretty sure it's based off of their kickoff.
Yeah, because so. Now the XFL and the other league, the USFL or whatever, have merged. So there's now one spring league, and I believe this is one of those rules from the XFL that is going to be kept for this year. So I think this is the first year of this merger. So I think it clearly had enough stability that people were like, we got to keep this. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, I feel like they clearly felt it was useful or successful or what have you. So I am interested to see it, but like, I've kind of got, I don't know, I feel kind of, yeah, you say you haven't watched much. So have you watched like any of the other spring league stuff? Like, have you watched any of it?
I have seen maybe 7 highlights total.
Okay. It's pretty goofy. I'm being honest. Like, I have no problem with alternative football leagues. I am a massive Canadian Football League fan. I love summer football. I have no problem with the spring league. More jobs, more opportunities where people can build and go to the NFL. No issue with it. But it just, the way they've set it up, it's kind of goofy. It feels very goofy to me. So.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the NFL can do. Maybe they can make it into a better version. Maybe they will royally screw it up. I don't know. But that is it for our news for this week, a light news week. And that'll give us plenty of time to dive into our mock draft. So we are doing a 10-team half PPR style draft. I am drafting at the number 3 position, and Mike is drafting at the number 8 position, and we are going on the sleeper platform, which I highly recommend if you're doing any off-season drafting. It's you can find people to draft against, or you can draft against the computer, practice your skills, whatever settings you want. They've got a very intuitive setup. But are you ready, Mike?
Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm excited to dive into this. You know, it's worth noting that, like we did last year, we'll sort of announce or quickly run through the drafts of the other 6 teams that aren't you and me, and then we'll explain how that affects our decision making, and we'll talk about why we picked certain players. And that's where it gets exciting. We kind of can start giving you some tips on things to think about heading into your draft. It's never too early to do these mock drafts. I know it seems really early, you know, like that we're just at a freeze, but we just thought, like, come on, free agency, slowing down. This is like a really good time for us to just be like, okay, where do we think these players are going to land now that they're on new teams, now that some teams have new quarterbacks. So I'm excited. I'm ready to just see what you think, where your mindset is. I'm excited to see how the computer starts to generate draft picks. This will be really interesting.
I have done a couple of these in preparation there, and I have a comment, but I want to see if the computer does it, because if one of the first 2 computer teams does it, and then if they don't, I will point it out.
Okay.
But I am ready to go if you are.
Well, I'm. I think I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
All right, here we go. Okay, so neither the first two did. I have seen Travis Kelce go as the number 2 overall pick a handful of times, and I don't know why.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Literally the lowest I've ever seen him go in my mock draft so far has been number 4 overall, which just seems baffling to me.
But I would not personally be drafting Travis Kelce in the first round at this point, mainly because, one, we're looking at a 10-team draft, and two, I think that the tight end position, as much as Travis Kelce's fantastic, that position is such a hit-and-miss position that I still have a hard time going tight end in the first round. Like, I really do, especially when you have a smaller draft. But, I mean, no, it went Justin Jefferson, Christian McCaffrey. No, that's not a shocker.
No, I've historically seen those two usually go as 1 and 2 or 1 and 3. So essentially, it's always been Jefferson, McCaffrey, Kelce, except for one draft where he went 4th. I can't remember who went ahead of him, but yeah, it's always like that. So for my first pick, I know who I'm gonna pick. But I'm just thinking back on, like, this time last year, my pick automatically here would have been Austin Eckler. Hands down. Like, I wouldn't even think about it. And then after last year, and now he's on Washington Commanders, I don't have that faith now. But I am going to go with a player who had an amazing season last year, helped win me a championship. I am going to take CeeDee Lamb with my first overall pick, wide receiver.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick. I think CeeDee Lamb this year is a really good first pick if you're going to go receiver. Frankly, he's one of three that I would say, okay, you're pretty confident picking those guys.
Yeah, it was a toss-up for me between him and one other player. Now, Ja'Marr Chase, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, and Travis Kelce all went behind me. And now, Mike, it's your first pick.
Yeah, so, you know, Austin Eckler and Saquon Barkley are always kind of two players that I keep an eye on. I'm very uncertain about how they're going to be this year. So I'm glad they were taken off the board. Ja'Marr Chase, I might have gone after him again, honestly, just because he's someone that I think will have a bounce back year, especially if Higgins does eventually get moved or traded. And I think that a healthy Joe Burrow will be a big thing for fantasy. But for me, with the number 8 pick, I'm going receiver, and I'm also going with a player who had a breakout season last year, who I think is still going to have maybe one or two solid, fantastic years left in him. So I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill with my first pick.
And after Tyreek Hill, Bijan Robinson, Nick Chubb, Cooper Kupp, and AJ Brown. And we are back to Mike.
So I think the Nick Chubb thing, that team that just picked him, that's obviously expecting he's coming back, right?
Yeah.
And so my pick here, I was actually hoping AJ Brown would fall to me. That's who I was going to pick, to go with Hill and Brown as my 1-2 receiver. So close, but no cigar. So what I'm going to do is I'm torn between two other receivers. I'm going to go double receiver here, mainly because of my position in the draft. I really want to go ahead and pick two receivers because I just have a little bit more faith in the receivers than the running backs coming into the season so far. So I'm going to go with, from the Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's someone who's going to have a really solid year. Between him and the other pick I was going to pick, I just trust Amon-Ra St. Brown a little bit more to have a consistent season this year. So that's my second pick, which gives me Tyreek Hill and Amon-Ra St. Brown as my two receivers.
Yeah, I was hoping Amon-Ra St. Brown would have fallen to me. I would have taken him, absolutely. All right.
So Derrick Henry went right after me, running back Baltimore now. It's interesting to see how he does there. Stephon Diggs went next. He was actually going to be a player I was going to pick. I don't know if I trust the Bills, but Stephon Diggs was definitely on my list. Garrett Wilson from the New York Jets. I guess that team's assuming he's going to bounce back here. And the first quarterback is off the board. Patrick Mahomes was taken just before your pick.
Yep, Garrett Wilson, like, I want to pick him, but I just need to get, like, the sour taste out of my mouth of how last season went and just remember, okay, he might have Aaron Rodgers for the full year this year, assuming nothing bad goes wrong again. So I can understand, I can understand him going. I have a little internal hesitancy about doing it, but that's just something I need to work through, I guess. All right, with my second pick, I am going to take wide receiver Davante Adams from the Las Vegas Raiders. And with my third pick. So Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs, Jalen Waddle, and Mark Andrews went after my pick. Mm. And I will take as my first running back, Jahmyr Gibbs, which I was kind of glad that you took Amon-Ra St. Brown, because if he had fallen to me, then I wasn't going to take Jahmyr Gibbs, but I didn't know who else I would have taken kind of in that range. So I'm kind of glad that it worked out that way. And then after Gibbs was Olave, Najee Harris, Jalen Hurts, and Travis Etienne. And now Mike is on the clock.
So it's funny, you and I have a similar draft strategy, I think, going on right now, except the two running backs I was going to take have been taken. So the running back room does not look great that I have left here. So I'm actually going to take a little bit of a spin and change direction a little bit. And so in this scenario, I'm going to go with someone who I know is going to score me a lot of points. If I can't take the running back, I'm actually going to go quarterback, and I'm going to go with someone who at bare minimum, even if the receiving core doesn't get a big jolt, I know this running back's going to hurt you along the ground, going to hurt you along the air, and doesn't really have a lot of talent around him to worry about. So I'm going with Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, my Buffalo Bills, giving me a more mobile quarterback who I know is going to make an impact. And as I expected, I wanted to take a quarterback because I knew, look what happened here. So Stevenson goes and Joe Mixon goes, but then we start the third round. The first two picks coming back to me were quarterbacks. So I'm glad I took Allen when I could get him.
Yep.
Oh, I guess I have enough to pick again, eh? Yeah. I guess.
Yes. So Stevenson and Mixon went, followed by Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow.
I have no faith, honestly, in the running back room of what's left. Like, to me, you're rolling the dice with whoever you have left. So that's basically what I'm going to do here, is I'm going to take a couple rolls of the dice. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor from the Colts.
Yep. I was looking at him for my next pick. But my boy Breece Hall survived, so I'm going to take him. T. Higgins, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, and Calvin Ridley went between Mike and I's picks. And I'm going to take Breece Hall, pair him with Jahmyr Gibbs, two young running backs who have both been heavily involved in the passing game for their respective teams. I think that gives me a pretty well-rounded running back wide receiver pair. And then followed by Deebo Samuel, Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, and J.K. Dobbins. Now, I want to talk about that Justin Herbert pick, because that is way too early for me to consider Justin Herbert with the state of their wide receiver room right now.
I would agree.
Because I don't know, I fully believe Justin Herbert is a very good quarterback, but the problem is he has no one to throw the ball to.
Yes.
And that becomes a concern, because if they can't get open, you can't really throw the ball to them, right? And he's not a runner. He's not one of those quarterbacks who's going to go, like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, okay, there's nothing open. Well, I'm just going to run and I'll get 4 or 5 points a game just running. Like, no, Justin Herbert is pocket passer. He needs touchdowns or else he's not helpful to your team. So I don't love that pick. It's for the computer anyway, so it doesn't ultimately matter, but that's just my thoughts for going into the season. Is I don't think Justin Herbert should be that high.
Right now, I'm not picking Justin Herbert. My philosophy with quarterbacks is there's, 4 or 5 that I would pick early on. He's definitely not one of those. I just don't think he has the weapons.
No, I fully agree. And then interesting that J.K. Dobbins is going as early as he is with the injury with Derrick Henry. There's a lot of question marks there.
Yeah.
But for my fifth pick, I'm going to take wide receiver Amari Cooper from the Cleveland Browns and just hope that whoever is that quarterback for them, he's able to maintain the strong season that he had last year moving into this season. And then after my pick, Aaron Jones, Kenneth Walker, and Miles Sanders and DeAndre Hopkins were all taken, and Mike is now on the clock.
So I'm going to assume that we're going to see that resurgence out of those crazy Atlanta Falcons. And I'm going to take Drake London.
I was looking at him too. I've gotten him in a couple of mock drafts, but it was just too early to take him where I was. I was hoping maybe I could get another round and then go after him, but I certainly agree with your pick there. I fully expect that they're going to have a bounce back year.
Yeah, from what I was looking at, because DJ Moore was taken a couple picks later. So TJ Hawkinson, George Kittle, tight ends were taken, Damian Pierce is taken, and DJ Moore. I was looking at DJ Moore, but with Chicago now having pretty much two fantastic receivers in Moore and Allen, I decided I'll go with Drake London. Because right now he's the big receiver target in that backfield, or sorry, in that receiving corps. So that's why I decided to go with him. Now I'm going to pick another running back, and I got to tell you, I do not like some of these picks that are left. The players like Matheson, Akers, even James Conner. I'm not a fan here. What I am going to do is I'm going to grab something from what I think will be an exciting Chicago Bears team. I'm taking Swift. I think that they're going to rely on that running game to protect that quarterback and put the young quarterback in a position where he can be successful. So I'm going to take DeAndre Swift.
All right. Fair enough. Hawkinson and George Kittle, Damian Pierce and DJ Moore went before your DeAndre Swift pick, followed by Justin Fields. That's interesting. Terry McLaurin, Trevor Lawrence and Darren Waller.
Fields going before Lawrence is interesting because at least Lawrence is going to, you know, is going to start.
Well, it's just interesting that he's going that high. Like, I mean, the sixth round isn't that high, but for somebody who is currently not the starter for their team, like, what if he never ends up being the starter?
Yeah.
You know? I think from our conversation earlier, it's pretty clear you and I both expect that he will be, but we expected lots of things in the past, and they don't always pan out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And now I'm in a position where I don't know.
You don't know where you're going to go next?
I have three choices and I have two picks and I know all three won't, like, I know whatever one I don't take won't come back to me. So,
so you really got to decide then here of like, what can you not, cannot afford to live without? Like, what player do you just, you got to have them? Talk it out.
Well, there's a running back, a wide receiver and a tight end that I want. Mm-hmm. I think the tight end there, I have the most options still to get.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure you're going to take the tight end that I want, but there, I have backup. I have pivot options there. So I'm going to take Mike Evans, wide receiver.
Considering how well he was for you last year in our actual house league, like you, I would, you know, I'd imagine that Evans is a good pick, especially a little bit later. You've already got three receivers. If you've got Mike Evans as like a fourth option, that's pretty solid.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that was kind of my thought process was, I think, especially where I'm getting him, if he has anywhere near a season like he did last year with the touchdowns with Baker Mayfield again, that's going to be a huge, huge pick for me. And now I think I'm going to go with the running back. I think I'm going to leave the tight end. I'm going to go with Isaiah Pacheco from the Kansas City Chiefs. He came on at the end of the season.
It's a great pick.
And their offense looks like it's set to be even more impressive with the moves that they've made in the offseason. So I want a piece of it. I don't really want a receiving piece of it, though. I want the running back piece because I know that that part works. He's proven he can get it done all the way through to the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with him. Cam Akers, James Conner, Kyle Pitts, and Brandon Ayuk went after me. Now, Mike, you are on the clock.
Well, the player I was going to pick is gone with this pick, so I've got to make another.
Was it Ayuk or Pitts?
It was Ayuk. Okay. Yeah, it was Brandon Ayuk. I was hoping to get Ayuk. He had a good season for me last year. I was hoping to get him again in this clearly mock draft. But in that case, I am going to have to pivot around and take a look. There's a few really interesting picks as far as I'm concerned. I really don't know what the state of certain teams like Jacksonville is going to be like because I'm looking at their team. I'm looking at a couple different options. But for me, like, all in all, I got to go with, whenever I'm torn, I go with, okay, what player do I think is just the best fit with what I need? And I would like some stability in the receiving core to give me some options. So I'm going to go with Christian Kirk from Jacksonville, hoping that with Ridley gone, Kirk already proved last year he was a good option for Lawrence. Maybe they'll have a bit of a bounce back year and I can get him.
Yeah, no, that is a fair pick. I was looking at the wide receivers there, and I think, like, with those options you're looking at, I probably would have gone with him too. Mike Williams, George Pickens, Rashad White, and James Cook all went after Mike's pick, and now Mike is back on the clock for his eighth pick.
Yeah, and the next player I was going to pick has now been selected as well. I had a player in mind out of that group that I was going to select. Now I have to make a bit of a pivot and change things up. But I'm gonna go with a tight end. And, you know, the tight end position, to me, I'm just rolling the dice no matter who I pick. So looking at my team, I think I'm going to try to stay away from some choices that I already have other options on that team in order to spread the ball around a little bit. And I'm going to go with an absolute complete roll the die. Might be the only Pittsburgh Steeler I ever take, and that's Pat Freiermuth. I'm going to take the tight end. I think if when the quarterbacks get in trouble, they're going to be thrown to that tight end, and I'm not super confident on the rest of that receiving core. And I think Freiermuth is a veteran who can get the job done, and I'm going to roll my dice and go with him.
I can certainly see the path there. If you hadn't taken Christian Kirk, would you have taken Evan Engram there instead?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't going to go with Kirk and Engram. If I didn't pick Kirk, like if I picked, I was going to pick him or Rashid White. If I was going to go for White, then it would have been White and Engram.
Yeah. But I went with Kirk. That makes sense. Tyler Lockett, David Montgomery, Alvin Kamara, and Chris Godwin all went after your pick. Now I am back on the clock. So I think I'm going to revive the Dak stack here. I'm going to take Dak Prescott as my quarterback, pair him up with my first pick, CD Lamb, and just hope, because now this could completely burn me if they don't have the same connection that they did last year. But if we get more of the same of what we saw last year between those two, it worked out great. You get 12 points every time Dak throws a touchdown to CD. He targets CD a lot. CD's great at getting open, good at getting yards after the catch. It's a great combination to have. And Dak really came on in the second half of last year, so I'm hoping not for as slow of a start as he had last year, and that they can kind of just keep riding that momentum. So I'm going to take him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty concerned, but you know, you never know. I think CeeDee Lamb will have a good year, but I don't know about Dak Prescott overall, but you never know.
No, that is true. It can blow up in my face very quickly. Javonte Williams, Dalvin Cook, Michael Pittman, and Deontay Johnson all went after. I was hoping Michael Pittman would have still been around. I would have taken him in a heartbeat. I don't really like the running back room. And then there's some interesting wide receivers. But you know what? I'm just going to secure myself with my boy Sam Laporta, tight end, and just ride or die with him. See if he can't repeat that amazing rookie season that he had.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy, Marquise Brown, Jordan Addison, and Zay Flowers all went after me. So now Mike is on the clock with his ninth overall pick.
All the receivers I wanted just went.
Yep.
Because I also am not super excited about what's left in the running back room. So all the receivers that I wanted just went. So that's tough because now I'm in a position where I don't quite know what to do. As far as I'm concerned, the receivers that are left, there's a couple interesting ones, but the problem is they're all on teams that have a lot of different other options. Which makes me a little bit nervous about that. And a few of them I might pick, but I still think with having like, what, seven picks left, I think it's too early for me to do another roll of the dice there. So I think one of the strategies that I've tried to do, even in a mock draft, is pick up. Then if I can't pick up something that I want, it's still in this mock draft, it's a bit early for kicker or defense. Maybe in my house league, I might go and get the best defense or the best kicker possible, but it's a little early. I'm going to go after trade targets, things that I can maneuver in my lineup in order to make trades later, in order to maneuver. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull a sort of a Josh maneuver here and team up my number one receiver with the quarterback for the Dolphins. I'm going to take Tua, and then Josh Allen or Tua become trade options for me from teams that don't have good quarterback options or injuries, of course.
Fair enough. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jahan Dotson, Antonio Gibson, and Gabe Davis all went after it. And Mike, you're back.
Oh boy. Kind of same scenario, actually. Some options at least are gone, but I'm really thin at the running back room. So that may be need of a trade later. But you know what? I'm going to sort of play the odds that Devon Achane might be able to steal some opportunities back in the Miami Dolphins running room again. And you never know with injuries what could happen. So I'm going to go with him, Devon Achane from Miami.
I was going to take him with my next pick.
I think it's a good pick, especially late in the draft. It's a pretty good, solid option, especially with how easily running backs can get hurt. I think he's a good option to have.
Yep. I've been getting him late in a lot of drafts. If he falls that far, yeah, I think he's worth the risk. There's always the chance that it ends up being Raheem Mostert and it blows up in your face, but we saw last season that they couldn't keep a running back healthy on the field, so I think at some point Achane will get his chance. So I fully support that pick. Wish it was mine. Michael Thomas, AJ Dillon, David Njoku, and Khalil Herbert all went next. So I have to pivot now since the guy I was going to take is now gone. And I think I'm going to just kind of follow in your footsteps a little bit and get myself a backup safety valve quarterback. And I'm going to take Kirk Cousins with the hope that his time in Atlanta will be a bit of a resurgence.
I think it's a good bet. And now you've given yourself options in case Dak really falls off a cliff. You've got something.
Yeah. I've got a safety net, I think, with Kirk Cousins. And I mean, he was a top three quarterback until he got hurt last season. So could have more than a safety net with him. Brandon Cooks, Juju Smith-Schuster, Zach Charbonnet, and Evan Engram all went after my pick. And now I'm back on the clock. I don't like any of these running backs, but I need another one. So you know what? I will just take the opposite of your pick, and I will take Raheem Mostert, and we'll see which one of them ends up on the field.
Yeah, see what happens. See who does something. Yeah. My next pick was taken again.
Oh no! Kadarius Toney, Quentin Johnson, Brian Robinson, and Anthony Richardson all went. Who was your pick, Robinson?
No, actually, I was going to take a flyer on Quentin Johnson late, just because, like, who else is there? So maybe, you know, with a talented quarterback, he does do something. That's what I was going to do. So what I'm going to do is my backup plan, which was to go for a tight end. Pat Freiermuth is a bit of a roll of the die. What I'm going to do is I'm going to choose a tight end with a lot of upside. Someone who could position themselves to be a good target. And I'm going to pick Dalton Kincaid from Buffalo.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good good tight end option. Aaron Rodgers, Jamal Williams, Treylon Burks, and Cortland Sutton all went after your pick. Now you're back for your number 12.
Yeah, so this is an interesting scenario because there's a couple different players that I've had on my list for late picks. And one of them is available, so I'm going to go and take them. And it's Sky Moore from Kansas City. You just don't know what's going to happen with the Chiefs and how they're going to use that receiving core. They've got Marquise Brown. They've made some changes there. But Sky Moore showed like a lot of speed, talent, and the ability to actually catch and hold on to the football. So I'm going to go with Sky Moore as an option. And he's an easy get rid of, move things around later. But I'm just going to go ahead and pick him because, hey, I like to have a Kansas City Chief on the team. I know they're going to score a lot of points.
Yep, that's fair. Rashad Penny, Samaje Perine, Odell Beckham, and Elijah Mitchell all went next. And I'm going to take the kicker that you probably wanted with Justin Tucker. Elijah Moore, Dalton Schultz, Ezekiel Elliott, and Alan Lazard were all taken next. And then for my 13th pick, I'm also going to take a Kansas City receiver, but I'm going to take Rushee Rice.
Mm-hmm. Another good one.
Because he had a bit of a breakout last year, a bit of a connection there with Mahomes. So I'm going to hope that maybe there's a bit of a resurgence there. Cole Kmet, Jarrett McKinnon, Adam Thielen, Tank Bigsby went after me. And now, Mike, for your 13th pick.
Yeah, so, I mean, I am going to go for a kicker. But I'm okay with Justin Tucker going. Because I actually have three kickers that I'm interested in this year. And I'm going to go with another choice. I'm going to go with Tyler Bass as my kicker. I think that the Bills are destined for a lot of field goals this year.
That's fair. Team 9 drafted running back Damian Harris, who is now retired from football, so not going to work out too well from them. Followed by Rashad Bateman, and then a pair of kickers in McPherson and Butker were taken as well. So now, Mike, with your 14th pick.
I'm going to pick my defense, and I don't like the way they've ordered this defense here, these defenses. I think that there's still a lot to be decided on it, but I'm going to go with an old faithful, an old standard, and I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, so they've actually, I see what you mean with how they're showing up in the queue. If you sort it by point, because they rank them all the same. But if you sort it by projected points, then it right. gives you
a more accurate one.
A more accurate one. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you took the 49ers, and then four kickers went with Carlson, Elliott, Young-Wei Koo, and Sanders. And now it is my pick. I am going to take the Baltimore Ravens defense with my second last pick. Then Brandon McManus, Jason Myers, the Tennessee Titans defense, and the Miami Dolphins defense were taken after me. And with my final pick, I don't know how he made it this far, and nobody, I don't know what's going on with these rankings. Something's wrong here. Because I'm going to take Puka Nacua with my final pick of the draft.
That's who I was going to pick. I saw him there, and I'm like, I was going to pick him.
I don't know how he's not picked up in the first three rounds. That's weird. I didn't even know I just assumed he had been taken. I didn't see his name. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's kind of weird. Don't know why Sleeper has him ranked that low, but, the string of defenses after me, the Steelers, Rams, Jaguars, Vikings, and now Mike is on the clock for his final pick.
Yeah. I was going to take Puka Nacua. I didn't know you'd see him. I'm going to take Nico Collins from Houston.
That's who I was going to pick. And then I saw Puka, and I was like, well, how do you not take Puka?
Yeah.
So New Orleans Saints and Washington Commanders to round out the draft. So, Mike, why don't you just give us a recap of your final team there?
My final team at quarterback, I have Josh Allen. My running backs are Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift. Who are my backup running backs? Oh, Devon Achen. My wide receivers are Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London, Sky Moore, and Nico Collins. My tight ends are Pat Freiermuth and Dalton Kincaid. And my kicker is Tyler Bass. And my defense is the San Francisco 49ers defense.
And a quarterback, I have Dak Prescott with Kirk Cousins as a backup. I have Jahmyr Gibbs and Breece Hall as my starting running backs with Isaiah Pacheco and Raheem Mostert as backups. And then I have CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Rashee Rice, and Puka Nacua as my wide receivers. Sam Laporta is my tight end, and then I have Justin Tucker and the Baltimore Ravens. I didn't even realize I did that. I would probably want to trade that. I would probably probably wouldn't have picked the Baltimore Ravens. I forgot I had Justin Tucker, to be honest with you. So I don't love that. I don't like having both special teams on the same team, but they're both great options, so maybe it could work out for me. And that is it for our first mock draft of the season. We'll be doing another one next month in honor of the NFL draft. Thank you for joining us. Take care. Stay safe.